Thank you, Chris. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here to explore your faith, to meet new people, and to strengthen your personal relationship with God. Welcome to Pilgrim Church UCC on this not so beautiful but busy Sunday morning. We are glad that you joined us today, and we invite everyone for coffee and very good, yummy lunch. I think we have something special today, and maybe you'll hear a little more about what's happening today in a bit. But before that, I didn't want to tell every single person what happened last night, so I will just tell everyone what happened last night. Well, my plan was today to bring Sophia to church, but I guess our plans are not God's plans. I had to spend half the night in the emergency room. So, well, it wasn't because of Sophia, she's fine, it was me, so sorry for that. But if I fall asleep during my sermon, just wake me up. It was my blood pressure, which is like a little bit out of whack. I think not sleeping is not good for you, so I suggest that you sleep once in a while. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Mark?
Good morning. Morning. Wrapping up the peanut butter and jelly collection. And it appears that grape is the winner in terms of the jelly. We're not sure about chunky versus smooth, but grape has definitely edged out all of the other berries. And the last count I had was over 90, so we've really pulled in a lot. And this is also the end of the heifer project offering, the last Sunday for that. And we're going to be doing the noisy offering today. So all of that change is going to go to heifer. So let's see if we can fill up these buckets, because I've seen a lot of people carrying in bags of change. So our buckets may not be quite big enough, which would be a good thing to have. As always, thank you for your amazing generosity. It just floors me every time we have an offering or a collection. And everybody just gives so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Just real quick, right after the service, if we can meet with the people of the House Committee and the Ops Stew right in the conference room. We're going to go over that an issue here for just a couple minutes worth. Thank you.
Thank you. Cindy.
Good morning. Yes, we're having a special lunch today after church. Lee is going to present some pictures, and I hear a video, too, of one of their recent trips. It was really, really interesting last time they had one of these, and it was a snowy morning, so there weren't that many of us. So we have sandwich fixings and salad fixings, so you can have lunch and enjoy some videos and pictures of the world travelers.
Thank you, Cindy. Are there any other announcements? If not, then Bruce will lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Those of you who are able, would you please rise and join me in reading the call to worship? Come, let us turn to the Lord.
Who has made the world and all that is in it.
Come, let us give praise to our God.
Who acts in love for all humankind.
Come, let us bow down and worship.
And proclaim God's love to all generations. Let us worship God.
Our opening hymn is number 43, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Oh,
join me in reading the prayer of invocation. Come, O Creator, O immensity of love, O eternity of mercy, come and be with us, and in us, and beside us, and over us. Be as hands upon us, and fashion us for shining. Be a warmth within us, and a fire us for caring. Be a strength beside us, and shape our lives for healing. Abide in our prayers, the spoken and the unspoken, and make your word come true in our flesh, through Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated.
And now we invite the young and young at heart to come forward. Is that right, Cindy?
Sure.
And I have a microphone for you.
Thank you.
Got Chloe's here too.
You want to come up, Chloe? Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's I'm usually the one out there saying good morning. Chloe, you want to come up and have a stuffed animal? No, all right. Well, maybe she'll come up when we're starting our offering. Well, Miss Erin had a wonderful idea a little while ago, and it's really nice when you share ideas with other people. Her mom and dad's church does something they call a noisy offering. On the weeks that there's, you know, on the months that there's five Sundays in the month, I don't know if they do it once a month or whatever, but we said, hey, let's try this. And we said, well, that way we can get, you know, our spare change, and we can turn our spare change into things to help people. So we are giving it to...
Heifer.
Heifer. The Heifer Project. Do you know what a heifer is? Oh, you got it. You want to hold the cow? But Heifer Project doesn't just give cows to people. They can give... They give flocks of ducks to people. They give...
Sheep.
They give sheep to people. They give...
Bees.
Give bees? Yeah, they give like flocks of bees for honey, and well, you know, different plants need pollination from bees. What else do they do? They give, well, then I found a little chicken, but Big Bird. You know, Big Bird and a chicken? They give flocks of chicken. Julie, what do chickens give us?
Eggs.
So that way people get, yeah, why do they do all this? Oh, and look, I've got Piglet, because here, Marissa, you want a whole Piglet? And then I found this one at home that I couldn't tell if it was a rabbit or a pig, but it looked kind of like a pig. So I said, oh, okay, good. It looks like a bunny. Actually, they do give bunnies too. Hey, you want to hold the bunny? Now, I got anything else in here for Chloe? And yeah, Chloe, you want to hold the sheep? Okay. There's another sheep. So they don't. They call it the Heifer Project, but they don't just give cows. They give water buffaloes, and they give llamas, and alpacas, and bunnies, and flocks of ducks, and flocks of geese, and flocks of chickens, and sheep, and pigs, and goats. They give lots of things to people around the world, but why do they do that, Miss Erin?
So people can have sustainable food sources.
What's a sustainable food source?
It's something that will keep giving year after year in terms of food.
Yeah, we don't just send them some frozen TV dinners. We send them stuff that they can, like the ducks and all the chickens and the geese give eggs so they can have eggs to eat. And then the cows give milk, and the water buffaloes, they can work in the field and give milk, and there are lots of things that they can have all the time, and sheep give.
Sheep multiply.
And sheep multiply, and they get wool so they can make like a business. There's a lot of things that the Heifer Project does that helps people make a business or make something so they can help themselves. And one of the really special things is once those sheep multiply, do you know what they do?
They will have little sheep.
What do the people do with the little sheep?
They can give them to their neighbors.
Yeah, one of the big things is pass it on. Isn't that one of the big things of heifer, is that once they have the gift, then it's not just for the one family. They use it for their community, and they pass them along. That's why they said that the ducks and the chickens and the geese are really important, because they multiply so fast, and they can pass the gift on really quickly. So we said, that World Care said, what a great thing to do for our first noisy offering is to give to something that we've supported before, because it helps so many people. So I thank you, Aaron, for that great idea. And I said, that sounds like fun, but we're all off in care camp. Let's let it do this now during children's time so you guys can collect the offering. Yeah?
Yay.
Yeah, all right. So dig out your change and support our noisy offering.
Thank you, Cindy. Wow. It's a big one. Nice little music with it.
The singing would be a good bringing back to.
Okay.
We're going to do something different.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Wow.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everybody for contributing to the noising offering and making it a success. Thank you very much. We appreciate that on behalf of World Care. The first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Thus ends this reading. Second scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Jesus, the true vine. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Thus ends these readings.
Jesus, in my place, only love.
Choir and the ghost piano. It was beautiful. Our third reading this morning comes from 1 John, and actually this letter was written toward the end of the first century AC, after Christ. And the interesting thing is that no one knows who wrote it, but because of the style of the letter, which sounds like the Gospel of John, they called it John. So this is the first letter of John. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A long, long time ago, when I started my seminary studies, I don't know, in the 90s? My goodness, a long time ago. One of my professors taught us three basic questions that you can ask when you start reading a Bible text. When we look at the scripture reading, we can ask, what does this text tell me about God? What does this text tell me about myself? And what difference does it make? Since then, sometimes unconsciously, I still ask these questions when I write my sermons. All three questions help me focus on why it's important to read the Bible and why I believe it's important to preach the gospel. We read the Bible because that's where we learn about God. And from the Bible, we learn a lot about ourselves and how we can make the world a better place. So let me start with the first question. I love these three-part sermons. It's easy to remember them. They're very Methodist. I love them. So what does this text tell me about God? Our text from 1 John beautifully answers this first question. The writer of this first letter of John tells us about God's love. The whole letter is, or the whole part that we read is about God, about God's love. We learn about God's sacrificial love, the love with which Christ loved the world. In verse 9 we read, God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And then the writer a little bit later goes as far as saying, God is love. I remember my professors telling me, God is love, but you cannot change it the other way. Love is not God. Well, we'll see why. I know I preach a lot about love, and I also mention agape love all the time. But in 1 John, we have a different story. Just imagine a Bible reading that uses the word agape more than 20 times. Actually, at 20, I gave up. I said, I'm not counting anymore. Agape must be pretty important to the community John was writing to. We know that agape love is the highest form of love possible. This is how God loves us. This is also the type of love God asks us to love others. Agape love is about giving to others. It is about sacrificing. This sacrificial love is the type of love God expressed through Christ. This is how Jesus loved everyone, even his enemies. Agape love is selfless, generous, sacrificing without complaining, and always waiting patiently. This is how the father in the parable of the prodigal son was waiting for his younger son to come home. And this is how that same father loved both his sons. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis used agape to describe what he believed was the highest level of love known to humanity, a selfless love, a love that was passionately committed to the well-being of the other, end of quote. So what does this text tell me about God? First of all, it tells me that God loves me unconditionally, with a love that exceeds human imagination. God doesn't just love me, Reverend Melinda, unconditionally, but God loves all of us with such passion that God sent Jesus to teach us about the perfection of sacrificial love by sacrificing his own life for the whole world. God loves us so much that God's best characteristic is love. John says, God is love. So this is where we get to our second question. What does this text tell me about myself? So because of these personal questions, I have some personal stuff in my sermon, so you have to forgive me. But here, let's start with agape love again. John talks a lot about agape love. And when I look into the mirror of this text, I see how much love I lack. When I read about the perfection of God's love, I saw the imperfection of my love. Sometimes I can be pretty selfish. I can be mean to others, especially those closest to me. And I often try to ignore the suffering in the world. While God's love gives it all, I cut corners. Before I give everything to Jesus, I want to make sure that my family and I have a good life. Then when all is said and done, I give away the leftovers, the blessings I have already used up. Rarely do I give God the first fruits God deserves. God's love isn't like that. God's love is generous. God's love is unconditional. It's clear that agape love does not come to us naturally. It's a choice we have to make to love others completely without expecting anything in return. It's easy to talk about agape love. It's easy to preach about love, even agape love, but it's very hard to practice it. Agape love is more than a feeling. I won't sing this, but it is more than a feeling. It's even more than falling in love. However beautiful and uplifting falling in love may be, agape love gives it all, sacrifices everything for the other. This is the kind of love Jesus asks his followers to love others. In the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the two great commandments. This is the second one. However, there's a secret teaching in this commandment. The secret here is that our neighbor is truly ourselves. The neighbor, no matter where they are from or who they are or what color or religion they have, my neighbor is one with me. When God created them, God placed the same spark of divinity in their soul as well. Our task is to love our neighbor with the greatest love, for they are one with us. God loves them just as much as God loves us. And here we get to our third question and last question. I bet you don't remember what the third one was, but I remember. I remind you. What difference does it make? Or why is this text even important to us today? To answer this question, let me start with a short joke. And this is why Tancred said, I will not read your sermon to the congregation when I asked him last night. For those of you who were not here, I spent half the night in the emergency room. So if I'm too funny, then that's because of that. I'm overly tired. So a young man named Paul was really, really lonely, and he decided to post an ad on a popular website. He wasn't good with words, so the ad simply said, "Wife wanted." Next day, Paul was surprised to find he had over 100 emails in his mailbox, inbox, whatever, same thing. Unfortunately, they all said the same thing. You can have mine. I know it's a bad joke, But in a way, it shows the imperfection of human love. Our love, especially romantic love or eros, does not last forever. Human love does not want to sacrifice for the other. Earthly love has a lot to do with feelings and pink elephants, but when it comes to deeds, it often fails. In my opinion, you can really learn about the type of love the other person has for you when you are in trouble. When you are in a difficult situation, you know who is truly your friend. When trouble comes, you find out who loves you unconditionally. Both times in my life when I had to spend longer periods of time in the hospital, Tancred was there with me. And guess who took me to the hospital last night? So when Sophia was born in this January, we were both in the hospital for almost 2 weeks because I had preeclampsia, and obviously it's still there somewhere, and Sophia had trouble regulating her body temperature. So we spent almost 2 weeks in the hospital. During those days, Tancred spent every moment he could with us. He slept in the hospital almost every single night on the most uncomfortable plastic hospital couches you can imagine. They even like squeak and make funny noises. It wasn't Tancred, it was the couch. These are the times when I know I made the right decision to marry him. He's still my best friend and closest person to my heart, after Sophia. I know our love is not perfect. It's probably not exactly agape love, the way God loves the world, but it's very close to it. At the same time, with true agape love, we need to love everyone with this kind of passion. Imagine that. It's not enough that we love our husbands, wives, children, family members, or friends. Agape love is the standard for the love we have toward all God's children. And that's difficult. We may make sacrifices for someone we love dearly, someone who is close to us. But how can we love everyone with this same kind of passion? Our text from 1 John says, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And I'm sure they didn't mean our blood relatives here. So let me ask you these questions. Is there someone in your life who needs more of your love? Family member or not? Can you love and accept people who are different from you? Would you make sacrifices for them? In verse 18, our text says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What if we dared to love everyone without fear? Just imagine your life without fear. Imagine what we could do if we were never afraid. Our text gives us a promise. The writer of John says, 1 John says that if we love, we don't have to be afraid of anything, not even the day of judgment. We don't have to be afraid of death or dying. Loving fully without fear gives us strength and courage to live well. Loving with agape helps us sacrifice willingly for others. I had a whole part in my sermon that I cut out, but I'll put it back just a little bit. There are many people who sacrifice selflessly for others. It's good to remember them. This next week, when you read your Bible in your quiet time, remember to ask these questions. What does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about myself? And what difference does it make? 1 John taught us about God's sacrificial love for us that doesn't know boundaries. I learned that my love is imperfect, far from how God loves the world. And why do we need to know this? Because we all need to grow in love. We must love God and our neighbor with agape love, with the love that is selfless, sacrifices for others, and puts other people's interests before their own. So with the words of 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 251, I Greet You, Sure Redeemer. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, in Christ you have shown us the true meaning of love. You have loved us not with a passive feeling, but with action. Today we ask you to teach us about agape, the fearless love that can change the world. We also ask you to help us grow in this agape love. Inspire us to make sacrifices for each other. Help us work for justice and peace, and accept everyone unconditionally. At this time, we unselfishly intercede for others. We especially pray for those who are suffering, the sick, the weak, for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, or grieving a loss of a loved one. We also pray for the people on Pilgrim's Prayer List. We pray for Lee, Claudette, Frank, Joe, Kristen, Carolyn, Renee, Penny, Kyson, Peggy, Judy, Mac, Naomi, Judy and Ralph Nelson, Noah, Porter, Sharon, and we pray for the people in the military. We also say special prayers for Lee's mother, Mary, Jim and Manu, Trevor, Carlene, and Sheila. And today we celebrate with Peggy, Carolyn, and her grandson Joshua, and Janice. And now in the next few quiet moments, we ask you to strengthen our faith and inspire us by your Holy Spirit to do great works of love in the world. And now pray with me with the words Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having received new life through the generosity of God, let us give thankfully and abundantly that we may be called God's generous people. And now our ushers will come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
And now let us say together our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, in your love, you have given us all that we have. You are the vine, we are the branches. Receive these fruits of our labor, which we dedicate to your glory. Use us and these gifts that we offer, that we may be signs of your love in and for the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 249, and we will sing verses 1 and 3, first and the last. Peace I leave with you, my friends. Go now, and wherever people will hear you, proclaim the life-changing love of God. Do not fear your weakness, for when you are weakest, Christ's strength is known. Travel lightly, live simply, and honor those who welcome the gospel. And may God be your protection and safe haven. May the power of Christ Jesus dwell in you, and may the Holy Spirit be your guide forever. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.